She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mouse.
He is feisty. And it's all because of the NFL. The NFL that has, you know, given him so much over the years. There's a joke in there. I'm going to skip right over it. Chew, why are you all mad about the NFL this morning?
They're steering the Kansas City Chiefs to the Super Bowl because of Taylor Swift. More people watching. The calls they get are flipping ridiculous. I'm so sick of the Chiefs. Andy, yeah, I love them, but...
not that much, I guess.
And then Philadelphia. So I was watching the game at a place that I like to watch games at with a bunch of friends and stuff. Philly fans are just so annoying. Are you with me or no?
I honestly don't know that many Philly fans. I don't know that many people from Philly. Haven't been around a ton of them. So I can't speak with firsthand knowledge.
Is it because they are known as being, you know, instigators and rowdy, yeah, you know, like you don't want to go there because you're going to get heckled?
It's not a lot
of
class. Class is a word I would not use. Like Buffalo, I mean, you're turning it to choke city and it's frustrating. I get it.
Well, yeah, but they can't choke if everything's rigged against them.
Can't be a choke if, yeah, the deck is stacked against them.
Can it? Can't you ever overcome the choke?
Listen, we're working. We're trying to follow the logic here, bud.
You can't have both sides. It's either if you want Buffalo to choke, then it's not just the refs gave Kansas City the win. And
you don't think Kansas City, look, when we went into Dallas, we were always like, all right, we're going to get one, maybe two crappy calls. That's just the way it goes when you play on the road. But it's just like, come on.
Did you think there were bad calls in the game? Did you think that there were bad calls in the game yesterday?
I just think they get calls. Yeah, I think there were a few questionable calls. You know?
Sure.
Hold on. Didn't this happen in the NBA where the refs were saying, hey, kind of steer this game towards LeBron because it's going to help our ratings?
No.
That happened, Gabe.
It did
yes,
not.
It did.
It did not happen.
I think
what you're referencing is a specific thing that was happening during the game, which they said you need to watch because these weren't being called properly. It happened to benefit LeBron in that situation.
No,
but they weren't saying to influence the outcome.
LeBron once baited Draymond Green into kicking him in the junk.
Sure did.
Like, that changed the game. But that had nothing to do with the officials. He just baited somebody into doing something stupid.
Not that hard to bait Draymond.
No, exactly.
Into something foolish, if we're being
honest. I mean,
honest.
This is the worst scenario for a Super Bowl that
what?
I would envision. What?
No!
The
these are good teams. These are great teams.
I don't care. It just they just annoy
Look,
me.
Look, I recognize that many, many, many people out there were hoping for a Commanders-Bills matchup for a number of reasons, right? The Commanders are the underdogs, and what Jaden Daniels has done this year has been remarkable. They're exciting, and, of course, couldn't happen to a better guy. Dan Snyder at home watching this team have all of the success after being forced to sell the team or sell his share of the team. And the Bills, as you mentioned, you have been knocking on the door. They've been on the doorstep. We just can't cross the threshold. We just can't get invited in to the Super Bowl party. And yes, there's a part of people that like Josh Allen and everything that team has done. But what we got, the Eagles put up a 50 burger yesterday, guys.
Yeah, I mean... three teams played really good football yesterday. Three teams played very good football yesterday. The Eagles and then the Bills Chiefs was a fantastic game.
Washington, the farther they got into that game, you could tell there was a pivot of, oh, we made it. You know, that's a good year. We made it. And then it was just...
yeah, I mean, they weren't in the same weight class.
They didn't belong.
No, they were the hot team that ran out of gas, kind of like the Packers did in 2016 when they got run out of the building by the Atlanta Falcons.
So, Chu, it sounds like you're not rooting for either team in the Super Bowl, then. You're not rooting for the Chiefs or the Eagles.
I don't even know if I'll watch. I didn't watch last year.
Okay.
Who was last year? Kansas City and who?
Good, I'm glad
San Fran?
Let you figure it out.
He figured it out. Because I think he watched.
Of course he did.
Especially, like, somebody who likes to host, who has a wife that likes to go out and do things, who have friends that want to watch football with him.
Frankie's in town.
Well, yeah. Well, I wasn't going to watch, but Frankie happened to be in town and he wanted to watch, so I decided let's watch it.
That's how this is playing out. No. And then my one buddy.
Okay, this is a serious question. When's the last time you put your foot down and it actually meant something?
Well, he can put his foot down, but Angie will pick it right up.
Just get bulldozed over.
She agreed. No, party's done. Matter of fact, we might go somewhere. That's how disinterested I am in this game. How do you vote? See, I think you have to have someone you root for in the game. I mean, I want everyone to drop every ball and an interception every time.
You're rooting for the officials, are you?
I don't know who I'm rooting for. What's the halftime show?
Kendrick Lamar. You could root for Kendrick Lamar and SZA.
Never heard of him.
You've never heard of Kendrick Lamar?
And I know we're not that into Andy. He's had great success. You like him. But he would be an all-time great coach if he pulled off a three-peat. One of the best to ever
live. What was the graphic that they flashed across the screen at the end that said he was tied with Don Shula for second most Super Bowl appearances? Is that right?
Don't care.
Could be, yeah.
And Belichick would obviously be number one, but of coaches all time? Come on, Chu. By the end of the week, we're going to convince you to tune in and root for Andy Reid, at the very least.
No. I'm not big on dynasties. I don't like dynasties. Unless they're mine.
Yeah, but this is partially yours. Andy's your guy.
You want Kansas City to win?
I do.
Yeah.
No. I want Buffalo to somehow.
That's not possible, pal.
What, do you think somebody's going to forfeit? Somebody's going to withdraw?
Maybe if that tight end was you and would have caught that ball in the 35.
Full team catches COVID in 2025 and... You got to send the replacement team?
I mean, are they the next Cubs? Are they the next Red Sox?
The Bills?
Think about their losses.
The Bills of past.
Yeah.
They're
just the Bills.
Think about their losses.
Yeah. They've been tough. They've had a couple of really tough ones in KC.
Is there a curse in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's called you have to play the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I think I'm rooting for the Eagles, guys. I really like Saquon Barkley. I like him a lot. And what a story, guys. You know, of him being with the Giants and wanting to stay with the Giants and have them build the team around him. And the GM was like, you're not that good. Yeah, we don't want you. No, in fact, go out and see if anyone else is willing to pay a running back in 2024 that kind of money that you want. We'll be here. We'll be waiting. And all he did was go out, go to the Eagles, and has had this unbelievable season and is now in the Super Bowl. Like, that's a good one. I'm rooting for Saquon Barkley. What he did on that first touch.
after the Commanders had a nice long sustaining.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. You're like, that's what you got to do, Commanders. That's what you got to do. You got to chew the clock. What was it, like a 6-minute drive? 6 or 7 minute drive?
Oh, almost eight.
I was gonna say 17 plays.
Yeah. Wow. 17 plays. Their longest drive in terms of plays on the season.
Yeah, go for it twice and then kick a field goal. Bad idea.
That was the confusion. It's not like it was 4th and 10 when you decided
to kick the field. I know exactly what it was. Gambler's fallacy. I've hit it twice in a row. There's no way 3 in a row is going to work.
What are you talking about?
Gamblers, if you get something right over and over and over again, if you hit twice placing on red at the roulette wheel, you go, well, there's no way it hits a third time. And it's a bias because it's no more or less likely based on previous events. They're all independent events.
Right, flipping a coin.
Right.
That whole thing. So who are you rooting for, Joshy?
It's Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Kelce, Chiefs.
You want the three-peat.
Yeah, it's excellence. We spent so much time hating Tom Brady and the excellence of the Patriots, and they gave us reasons to.
Another reason why I'm not watching.
I don't feel like the Chiefs.
Yeah, forgot about
point.
That one.
Put it on mute. I was actually watching in Spanish yesterday.
Surprisingly, you're not the only person I've heard of doing that.
Yeah.
They get excited over there.
Watching what game? One of the championship games yesterday?
Yeah, the NFC championship.
Why were you watching? Oh, because Brady's
so bad at it. It's just like we spent so much time hating Tom Brady that we're now watching something we've never seen before, and we don't like them because the calls go their way, despite them having no influence really over. Like, if you talk about the roughing the passer stuff in Patrick Mahomes, it's his play style.
Because he draws out plays as long as humanly possible, and most of the time, when you slow it down and look at it, they're almost always actually penalties. Because the way he plays is so interesting, so fun, he holds the ball, he gets it out at the very last second, that, yeah, guys, also they get frustrated. Like, to say that it's not, there isn't some factor of, we can't get past these guys and it's driving me nuts, so I'm really going to try and hit them here, like... The Chiefs are fun. There's what is there to hate?
That they win every year.
So we can't appreciate greatness anymore?
No. Nope. Out.
That's because I'm with Josh. I'm rooting for greatness. I've never seen a three-peat. I'd like to see a three-peat.
What?
Like, we're already here. Why not?
I like how you're like, I've never seen it. Gabe, newsflash, no one has ever seen it. It's not just you. Like, no one has seen this happen.
Same reason I was rooting when the Patriots were undefeated. I wanted the Patriots to win once they got to the Super Bowl. Never seen an undefeated team.
Why?
Wanted to see that.
Why was... Is it just a sign of the times? Is culture shifting? Because didn't everyone root for Michael Jordan and the Bulls?
Like, no.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember. Like, every person, no matter where they're from, was like a Jordan stan.
But wait a minute. I feel like we've had this conversation. My brain is going through the Rolodex of combos we've had here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy over the years. And I believe we've had this conversation related to no-hitters and perfect games, haven't we? Haven't we talked about being in the stands and being able to witness a perfect game or a no-hitter? And
yeah.
If it's not your team, you're not rooting for it? Even though that would be history.
I was rooting for Max Scherzer to get one against the Brewers.
Yeah, again, that's a little different because, again, your team is actually involved. Like, my team's not involved here. Like, if I was an Eagles fan, I'm not rooting for the Chiefs to see history.
Right.
No, because I want to see my team win the Super Bowl. I want to celebrate that. So I don't have a rooting interest here. I don't care about either franchise.
Once it becomes apparent in that game, maybe the one that Joshy referenced, and I don't know the specific game, and I don't know how it shook out, but what about in that game when your team is out of it? Then are you rooting for the history? Then is it like, well, my team's not going to win, therefore I may as well root for the thing I've never seen before?
Could have a historic comeback.
And then you were there for that, I suppose. All right, the eternal optimist has returned, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I've had a buddy who's left the game in the ninth inning with two outs where it looks like the Brewers have no chance, and next thing you know, they've scored four runs and it's a walk-off.
Baseball's also different. You'll lose 70, 80, 90 times and still be a good team.
So, Chewy, if I held your feet to the fire and said you have to pick a team you're rooting for, are you rooting for the Eagles then because you're anti-Chiefs?
Probably because one of my sons loves the Eagles. I think it's hard. Like, Duke playing Notre Dame, who the hell do you want to win there?
That's what a lot of people felt in the national championship game, actually.
I mean, I can't stand Notre Dame, and I can't stand Duke. So what do? Don't watch. I'll find something else on TV. I'll watch X-Men or Mountain Men or something. I'll fill the space.
Could watch football,
but
here we are.
You guys really think? I'm telling you, there's a good chance I won't even watch. That's how little I care.
I'm putting money on you at least watch a single play of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a sucker's bet. I agree with Gabe.
Yeah.
If nothing else, you're going to be passing through a room that has it on a television, like, right?
I don't know. No one's stepping up to have a party down here, so.
It's Monday. The game's not for another two weeks.
Hey,
tomorrow.
I got a schedule. I got to know what's happening in 2 weeks.
Not anymore. Your elbow's bleeped up, so you can't really do anything.
All right, it sounds like we got two for the Chiefs, one for the Eagles, and one undecided at this moment. 800-990-3776. That is your Carbless talk and text line. List is more. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? Look, we're not saying you have to be wholly invested in it, but it is the biggest game of the NFL schedule, and there are two really good teams who will be playing. It likely won't be a clunker. I mean, Joshy, when we talked on Wednesday on Weekly Wager about the over-under of the Eagles game, was there any... I feel like we had this conversation, and as I'm watching the Eagles click-click, 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 click-click their way to 50-plus points, I was like, did anybody take the over?
No, we were all against it, because to that point, they had won games by just defense and Saquon Barkley, and they decided, hey, guess what? We can cover the total by ourselves. It was 47.5. They scored 50 points.
Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks? We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning, including watching those games yesterday, watching the NFC Championship game, watching the AFC Championship game. Was there any part of you, Packers fans, that thought, my team, the green and gold, they are right there. They are right there. They could have hung with these teams, maybe not the Commanders, but they could have hung with these teams on the field on Sunday. We'll get into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot?
I'm calling him old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
YouTube stream poll. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? The Chiefs to three-peat, the Eagles to win, or in Chewy's case, the Meteor. He wants the Meteor to hit as the Super Bowl is going on. Mike says, I'm rooting for Kelce to retire after the game, so maybe the league and the NFL media will begin to care about football again and not some singer who is not that good. Why is Taylor Swift taking shrapnel?
It makes zero sense because what about the two previous Super Bowls they played in? And she's only been around for 2 years. It's not like, so they just decided, well, now since she's there, we're going to add Super Bowls to the list?
Did they even show her yesterday? I don't remember them showing her yesterday.
They did not show her a lot, I will say that. Even when Kelce would, you know, catch the ball. Speaking of, can we just stop one moment and have a conversation about Kelce's pirouette? Dario and I ended up having a conversation, like a philosophical conversation about running ladders. I think they're ladders. thank you, Chew. Because when you ran ladders, you stuck your foot in the ground and you pivoted off of it, right?
Yeah.
Was there ever anybody who was running ladders with you that would do the pirouette? That would do the turnaround that Kelce does when he catches the ball? Rather than sticking his foot in the ground and pivoting and changing directions, he does the... Anyway, sorry, that's a total sidebar. Let's see. Mike also weighing in saying, Jen doesn't know Packers history. Mike, I got to assume that that's 4th and 26 you're referring to. Not only does Jen know about that, Jen was there. So take that this morning, Mike. So we asked you earlier. Oh, I want to get to this call. Dan is waiting patiently on the line. Let's go out to Dan in Sheboygan. You're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning. Who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl?
I am rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. And the primary reason is I'm really rooting against Philadelphia. I do not want the tush-push deciding the game. I saw that yesterday. That's an embarrassment to the league. Well, what was it? 3 or 4 straight offsides calls. The referees were almost going to award the touchdown to Philadelphia by default because Washington can start jumping offsides. That has to be – Kansas City runs something that at least resembles football and not rugby.
Appreciate the call.
I like that.
Dan, Gabe, what did you make of that, where they did keep going offsides, and then they were like, hey, we're going to award them a touchdown if you keep doing it?
It was BS, because it's not like they were intentionally, because the way that the official worded it when he stepped up was like, well, if you keep doing this on purpose, guys, then we're going to reward a touchdown. But I don't think they were doing it on purpose, because the only way to stop the tush push, as we saw in the Kansas City game, you have to anticipate it. Like, you've got to be able to meet them with that snap count. And if you're a split second late, it doesn't matter. Jalen Hurts is getting into the end zone. So you have to jump the count. It's the Eagles who are sitting there going hard count. And when they went hard count for the 4th time in a row, yeah, they're jumping offside because you have to be able to anticipate. That's the only way to stop the tush push.
Do you think they should go back the way the rule was, that you cannot assist a runner in trying to move him forward?
I think so. It's going to be tough to enforce outside of that play. Because how many times, Drew, have we seen like a running back get stood up and all of a sudden an offensive lineman comes, pushes him from behind?
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well, that used to be illegal. You knew it used to be illegal.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why, you know, the famous picture in the ice bowl is, I think it was Chuck Mersine, has his hands like up in the air to show that he wasn't pushing Bart Starr into the end zone on his famous quarterback sneak in the ice bowl. I'd like to see it, because, I mean, it's just, it's not entertaining. It's a bad play.
But it's effective. For them, at least.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. It's effective. It's 100% effective. And teams are doing creative things, like the Packers using Tucker Kraft to run it. Yeah. You know, teams are getting creative with it. But I'm just, I run a regular quarterback sneak. I'm sick of the tush push.
Chew, have you ever heard of that before? Have you ever heard of an officiating team saying that they would award the touchdown if a team kept getting hit with the infraction?
How can they do that? It's half.
Apparently, it is in the rule book.
I mean, how many half the distance to the goal line are there?
that's what they were joking about the broadcast. Like,
is there an infinite number of half?
Yeah, technically, yes. Because you can always just cut everything in half.
Yeah, but eventually you can't cut it in half anymore. It's not infinite. So maybe you can do it.
But it was
Am I right? No, Josh?
Halving is infinite.
Say that again?
I said it is. Halving is infinite. It is by nature. You keep having something.
I don't think so. I think you run out of space. Am I right or wrong?
I'm so lost. I got lost with the halving and the semantics of what
was going on. Infinite? Halving is infinite.
Until you don't have.
Nope.
No, because you can always have something. Something's always going to be there.
Can someone
never
smart
disappears.
Call into the show and tell us?
I'm putting on the poll.
I also would like to know if anyone had ever heard of that rule before. If anyone out there, because it seemed pretty unanimous on social media that this was a, wait, what?
But obviously the officials were aware of it because even before the official on the field, Hockley, said anything, Pereira in the booth was like, hey, they can award a touchdown here. So obviously, I mean, it's something that the officials are aware of. It's the first time I've ever heard of it.
If it was the Kansas City game, they would have given him a touchdown.
I mean, they probably would have given him just 10 points.
Guess.
Probably would have given him 10 points.
Is there?
Yeah, I mean,
oh, it's Kansas
not only,
City?
Not
oh,
only
that's
do you
a
get
touchdown.
The touchdown, you get the extra points because that's what the penalty is. Not only do you get the touchdown, you get a touchdown that's worth 10 points.
Well, Monty Jones tweeted, they can just give a team a touchdown for that? That sounds like something your parents would say. If you do that one more time, I will give them a touchdown. That's exactly right. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless Talk and Text Line. Good morning, Chew. What's up?
Do you guys have any friends that think the league's rigged? Because I got one that is hardcore. He thinks it's rigged about everything.
Really?
Oh,
yes. Here's the problem with most conspiracy theories, Chew. And again, not all, but I would just say most conspiracy theories. You pull one string and it usually falls apart pretty quickly. Like if I ask your buddy, so the NFL's rigged. So Jerry Jones, who's the most powerful guy in the sport, is just cool with not going to a Super Bowl for 30 years and is just like, yeah, you know what? Give all the Super Bowl appearances to the Chiefs. I'm cool with that. I don't want to go to a Super Bowl. Like, the people who run these teams are the most egotistical, narcissistic people out there.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And they're just going to be completely okay with ceding all of the attention to somebody else. This is Jerry Jones, who, like, does things just for attention. And he doesn't want to win a Super Bowl?
Yeah, but Gabe, it's all about ratings and what do ratings do, right? Ratings puts money in all their pockets.
Wouldn't that?
No, it doesn't.
Not
no, it
just
doesn't.
The Super Bowl player. Not, yes, it does.
No, because they already
at
have their
the end of the
money.
Day, they cut it up and they hand it. They distributed it out equally.
Yeah, that money's already been
so
paid.
So they don't want Jacksonville playing the Raiders in the Super Bowl.
That money's already
no
been paid.
No one's going to watch.
That's whoever has the Super Bowl. Fox doesn't want Jacksonville in the Super Bowl because they're the ones who have to sell it. They're the ones trying to make the money off of it.
Wouldn't America's team being in the Super Bowl be beneficial to all? Couldn't you argue that ship would raise all tides if they were a dynasty?
Yeah, they need to remove that moniker or whatever tag from the
good luck
from the Cowboys, America's team.
Good luck getting that really? From Jerry. You have to pry that from his cold, dead fingers.
All right, let's get to some reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line. Josh in Heartland says, I'm with Chewy. The Super Bowl is like choosing between robbery or vandalism. I don't like or approve of either of them. You know, that sounds like a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy segment, though, by the way. We compare NFL teams to felonies or misdemeanors.
I could make a good case for vandalism.
You think?
Yeah.
Augie from Fredonia weighing in.
Like very specific or like all vandalism?
It depends.
Chewy, you're not alone. I have no interest in this Super Bowl, and I think a lot of America feels that way as well. Chewy, I always hope for a Super Bowl blowout, says Kevin in the 847. And why are the Eagles even showing up then? Foregone conclusion is Kansas City wins this one. Gabe, the Chiefs are a good team. They don't need any help, I assume he means from the officials and the referee. The Yard says, who flops more, LeBron James, Patrick Mahomes, or Travis Kelce? I didn't see Kelce flopping. Is Kelce a flopper?
I didn't see him flop once.
He reacted when Jordan Phillips like punched him in the face. If we remember on that Mahomes touchdown, he kind of threw his arms up. But, yeah, you got punched in the face. That's what you do.
Dave from Aaron Wayne
trying to
saying,
draw attention to that.
I'm cheering on the Eagles. which makes me vomit in my mouth a little bit, simply because it's the NFC. I'd rather see the champion be the team that knocked us out. That is a theory. That is a mindset that you hear a lot of times. If you're going to lose, lose to the champs. Lose to the team that goes on to win the whole thing. Makes you feel a little better about how you are. That being said, we're going to talk next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy about how far away you feel like the Packers are from those teams that you saw competing yesterday on championship weekend. That's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Gabe?
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a longstanding commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Are you going to answer the question?
What's the question?
Can the Packers win without Aaron Jones on Sunday?
Yes. Will you stop? You know what he is?
He's jumping.
He's like the little devil on the shoulder.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy reacting to yesterday's NFC Championship game and AFC Championship game that now pits the Eagles versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. We asked you this morning who you're rooting for. People are divided. Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776. I wonder if they will be divided on how close the Packers are to the teams that will be representing the conferences in a couple of weeks. The Packers played the Eagles twice this season. The outcome was the same in both games. But if you compare the Eagles franchise to the Packers franchise head-to-head, the Eagles have made their third Super Bowl since 2017. Green Bay Packers have not. Green Bay Packers famously have not been in the Super Bowl since the 2010 season. What's the difference? Why are the Eagles having so much success and the Packers coming up short? Chew, what does your gut tell you about the biggest difference between the Packers of the last decade or so and the Eagles of the last decade or so?
Front office. Packers miss on too many picks. I mean, I don't know. What's the running count now with defensive guys drafted over the last X amount of years, Gabe?
It's a lot.
It's quite high.
Yeah.
How many do they hit on?
Not as many as you'd like.
Not a lot. And I think that's the difference. It kind of catches up with you, you know, especially with first-round picks, you know. Because Ron, I mean, you go back to Ron, and he missed on some first-round picks pretty big. But Ron made up for it in the mid and later rounds,
mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, when you get third, fourth, fifth-round, sixth-round picks, eighth-round picks that turn into be starters, that's how you build a team. That's how you build a team. But I really think it's the front office. It's just they need more players. You know, they need more players. They need more A players. And I think Philadelphia has them, and that's why they've been so successful. I mean, they had 460 yards in this game. They're a machine.
They've got Philly's got like this interesting history in terms of the draft where they kind of mix in these top 10, top 15 picks. Like they haven't been like the Packers where the Packers are just kind of consistently good, and rarely are the Packers in that position to draft a lot of these top tier guys toward the front half. Where, I mean, the Eagles have had, you know, it's been a little hit or miss, right? Like, I mean, the Super Bowl they went to in 17, you know, it was a completely different crew, completely different head coach, completely different quarterback, and even their backup quarterback's the one who won them that Super Bowl, and they had to go through a reboot in order to get to where they are now with Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni and all the turmoil that Sirianni has brought on them as a head coach as well. But to Chewy's point, they're just more, to me, they're more aggressive in acquiring a lot of the talent. Like, you think about Saquon Barkley, how aggressive they were there. They, I mean, were very fortunate that the Titans decided that A.J. Brown wasn't worth worth paying. So they go out and get one of the best receivers in football a couple of years ago and give him a big new deal when he was on the last year of his contract. You know, Devontae Smith was a first round pick that they were able to hit on. Their offensive line, they've hit on all those picks. You look at what they have on their defense, Jude. They've been able to hit on those first round picks. And even just this year, with they've got two guys who are finalists for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. So they have hit on a lot of those picks, but they've also been more aggressive when those opportunities exist to go grab those players.
Another thing you look at yesterday is look at, you have two tight ends that are on the backside of their career, right? Backside, Ernst and Goddard. Ernst had 11 catches for 104 yards.
Yep.
You know, and then Goddard had 7 for 85. They clearly went into that game and said, okay, the tight end's going to be a big part of the game plan here. And that's what we're kind of waiting for with Tucker Kraft. Yes, we know he's good. Use him. Elevate him to an A player, not just a B player. This whole shared, I don't want to get him mad, so let's give him 5 targets. And, you know, he might get mad, so... Take your 4 best players, get them the damn ball, develop them, and move on.
But the Commanders spread the ball around. The Eagles, playing the Commanders yesterday. The Eagles spread the ball around. I mean, Saquon Barkley is going to be the focal point of that offense, but Jalen Hurts made a lot of great throws yesterday, too. For everybody out there who has been critical of Jalen Hurts saying that he is not a top-tier quarterback, his accuracy has improved throughout his career. And I think he's been playing some of his best football this season. So what I was saying to you guys in the production meeting this morning is, why can't the Packers follow this blueprint that the Eagles have laid down, which is Saquon Barkley is obviously the straw that stirs the drink, right? So you are going to focus on him, and yet somehow the Eagles still manage to get Smith involved, get Brown involved, get all of these other players involved. Joshy, does it not seem like a way that you could sort of cater your offense to follow that blueprint?
Yeah, I mean, they present it interesting because Jalen Hurts is more mobile, uses his legs more. On the outside, they are better than the Packers would be with 2 top-end talents. And then Saquon Barkley is sort of one-of-one in the NFL right now, really only compared to Derrick Henry. You have the best offensive line to match with that and a fairly talented tight end. Like, where they are is largely because they've hit their draft picks, and then when the opportunity to be aggressive presents itself, Roseman takes the chance and most often hits on it. Like, we can be critical of the Giants letting Saquon Barkley go, but what are they going to do with Saquon Barkley? Have 4 wins instead of 3? Like, what does that really matter to them? It's just being aggressive when you have the right pieces. They got Jalen Hurts, young, who's building a career. They built around him and said, this is our time. And they went all in, and they've been all in. And then you match in getting a top 3 draft pick in Jalen Carter and getting him at the 9th overall pick.
So are we all in agreement then that the biggest difference between what the Eagles are doing and what the Packers have done is their picks? Is that they've been more aggressive in free agency and the Packers have not hit on their draft picks? Because I've got the Eagles list here. I've got the Eagles draft list in front of me, and it is one hit, one star after another, especially at the top. You mentioned Quinyon Mitchell. You mentioned Cooper DeJean. They've also got Jeremiah Trotter out of this last draft class. I'm not ready to put a grade on that draft class yet, but it is certainly trending in the right direction. Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, that from the previous, those are the top 2 picks, both first rounders. We saw what Jalen Carter can do. You know, he's a menace. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Devontae Smith, we mentioned as their first rounder. Like, it just feels like they have had more success with their top draft picks than the Packers can claim currently. Is that a fair statement to make, Gabe?
Yeah, I think that's fair. But yeah, it's the reason why I don't look at this as a blueprint for the Packers is because they just have too many stars. Like, the Packers don't have that type of star power.
What I'm saying is, can you start going out and getting it? Obviously, when Goody makes a pick, he hopes that those people will become stars. And I know that's part of the reason why he continues to draft Georgia football players, because they had success at the highest level in college. So theoretically, that would translate to the NFL. In a weird twist of fate, the Eagles picks from Georgia have all panned out. It's like Goody picked the wrong guys from Georgia or something. Howie gets the good ones and he gets the we'll see ones.
Yeah, but again, it's about where are you drafting these guys? Jalen Carter fell to 9. Jordan Davis was 13. Like, these guys are in the top half of the draft. Like, there's a difference between guys taken in the first half of the first round and guys taken in the second half of the first round where the Packers are typically drafting. And yes, in those opportunities that they've had in the first half, they haven't hit those. Whether it's, yes, Chewy, Van Ness, whether it's Quay Walker, like those guys, they just haven't hit on when they've been in those spots when they've had those opportunities.
Yeah, but they're supplementing. They do a good job supplementing their draft picks with trades. I mean, don't forget Darius Slay. He was a trade from Detroit. He's a hell of a corner. You know, you said A.J. Brown and you said, well, Saquon, that wasn't a trade.
It was free agency. Agent,
right? Mm-hmm. But they do a nice job. They do a real nice job. Shoot, we talked on this show during the draft. Hey, what about Cooper DeJean? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he passes on him. Kid's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
Going to be a Pro Bowl player, you know? Lucas Van Ness was the 13th pick of the draft.
Yep.
You're drafting a guy who didn't even start in college. That's a good trend to start.
Well,
let's do that again this year.
So Jordan weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, guys. Jordan in the 603. It comes down to the GM, of course. Goody thinks he's smarter than every other GM in the league, thinks he can find a hidden gem in the draft, and refuses to go with the obvious pick. Usually it's a fan favorite, while the Eagles don't overthink it, and their drafts have hit more frequently. Is that fair, Joshy?
No. No, it's not. I think you... Like, if Goody had pick number 9 and Jalen Carter's there, he probably makes it. Like, there's certain
Does
opportunity.
He? I don't know about that. I think the Packers shy away from character, quote-unquote, questions.
I think that's antiquated. They used to do that. I don't think they are that much way anymore. They have guys in there who have, like, what's his name? D'End, who ended up playing. He had character concern issues after they traded Preston Smith.
Engabare?
Brenton Cox Jr.
Oh, Brenton Cox Jr.
Also, didn't Aaron Jones get suspended from his school and have to transfer? Or was that Jamal Williams?
That was one of the two.
Yeah. So, like, those things have happened. Now, Carter is, like, there's deaths involved there. That's a whole different realm. But, like, you just draft. You had to take good guys. I don't know. What do you mean he thinks he's smarter? Like, he has a type. They draft that type. It's worked. The Packers are continually successful. They don't have great players. Like, Jordan Morgan was a fit because... They were weak at that. We saw how weak they were at offensive line depth. They probably didn't take Cooper DeJean largely because they thought they had their slot in Keyshawn Nixon, and they paid him to do that. And then Cooper DeJean was there, and it's like, well, maybe you should just be drafting the good football players. Maybe you should not overthink it, but, like, Goody's not bad.
No,
I don't think that's
bad.
Fair. Is
no.
He's just not great right now and hasn't been.
Well,
two of his drafts have been great, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The last two drafts have been pretty good. And maybe they hit a third in a row. Because, again, you go back and what did they do in 2020? They drafted Jalen Reagor.
Right.
In the first round.
Yeah, which was a terrible.
He might not even be in the NFL right now.
Whew. So it's not like they've, but their last few have hit. The Packers' last few have hit. If they can supplement this draft, hit it again, like they have the last couple of years, and then supplement with a key trade, big free agent acquisition, they might be able to kind of up them to where they need to be in terms of the talent that they need to compete with the Eagles, the talent they need to compete with those two teams that we're playing over in the AFC. But, I mean, if you can do all of that, great. To me, this all comes down to, can Jordan Love take the step to the next level? Because when you watch the quarterback play yesterday, it was functioning at a very high level. But, yeah, some of those guys have weapons around them, like we just discussed with the Eagles. You know, Terry McLaurin's pretty good for the Washington Commanders. But all of those quarterbacks, I mean, the best weapon for the Buffalo Bills is a running back in James Cook. Like, they're wide receivers.
And Josh Allen.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. For Josh Allen.
I mean, with his legs.
Yes, but still, like, it's not like Josh Allen has all this talent around him. I would say the wide receivers for Buffalo, pretty comparable to what the Packers have. But Josh Allen is just so damn good that he takes that rest of that roster to an AFC championship game and has the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead with under 2 minutes left. So Jordan Love needs to start elevating his game as well. Maybe it was part of the injuries this year and he didn't run as much, because that was certainly a big part of the game plan for all four of those quarterbacks yesterday, running when those options were presented to you. If Jordan Love elevates his game, that's the biggest thing. Look at that. That Commanders roster isn't very good. Jane Daniels just that damn good. And he took him to an NFC championship game.
If you want to talk about that 2020 draft class, which you mentioned, and Jalen Reagor, the reason people forget about that is because they also drafted Jalen Hurts.
Which was laughed at. He was a running back that they had their quarterback. What are they doing? Why would they do that? Oh, now he's in another Super Bowl.
that guy's a fourth round pick. What are you taking him in the second round for? That was the reaction
from
when
a roster standpoint. You don't think the Packers are that far from the Washington Commanders? I mean, it feels like they're very far from where the Eagles are. When you look at the Eagles roster and you look at the playmakers out on the field yesterday, it's stud, 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 stud. I don't know that you can do that with the Packers right now. You hope there's potential, maybe, of some studs out there. Josh Jacobs looks like a stud.
Yeah. Well, but, I mean, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean.
But there is even a disparity between where Josh Jacobs is right now and where Saquon Barkley is right now. Oh, 100%.
But, I mean, like, guys like Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, who we're calling studs now, weren't studs when they took the field in Brazil. They were like, hey, these guys were some good draft picks. Maybe they develop. Right? And that certainly helped. Now, again, the Eagles have a lot of established guys, whether it's Barkley, whether it's Brown, whether it's Dallas Goedert, whether it's Devontae Smith. Like, they have a lot of those weapons, and I don't think the Packers can match that. But certainly, I think you can get better quarterback play than what the Eagles get if Jordan Love continues to develop. That's the biggest thing for the Packers, to me, is that the easiest way, the quickest way to get to where you want to go is have Jordan Love play like he's an elite quarterback. Get him to that top level that he needs to be at. And if he's not, it's going to be tough for you to get to an NFC Championship game. It's going to be tough for you to get to another Super Bowl unless your quarterback is one of the best in the league.
But the problem with next year is the receiver free agent class stinks.
Correct.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So you're banking on what? Drafting a guy in the first and second round that's going to have an amazing rookie year?
It's going to be tough.
Isn't it right in front of us? Guys are available. We've been talking about them.
Who's available?
Go get Max Crosby. Go get Miles Garrett.
Oh, I'm talking receivers. I'm talking about the receivers.
Oh, I was just...
Standpoint.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Because you see what... I mean, there's still an element of Jamaican tank here, right? I mean, Philly was so good yesterday because they put up 460 yards of offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I did the Packers even...
Did they do that at all
this year?
Yeah, they had.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think offense eventually is going to win you the ball games, and that's why, you know, 6-7 games in, I was like, I don't think they can win a shootout because they can't put up 470 yards of offense and just can't do it. So, you know, I'm very reserved about next year because what's in the kitty?
A lot of money.
Rolling back the same thing.
Got a lot of money in that kitty. Be aggressive with it.
And I noticed nobody mentioned coaching in this whole thing. Is there any part of any fans out there who think that there is a disparity in the coaching? The coaches, look, Andy Reid is great. Andy Reid is probably the best current coach in the league. So we're not saying that Matt LaFleur is in Andy Reid's category in his stratosphere right now. But was there a big difference between what you saw from Sirianni? Was there a big difference from what you saw from some of the other coaches who were out there in the championship weekend? So you've got players, which is Goody, I suppose. It's Goody obtaining the ingredients for the stew. You've got the guy making the soup in LaFleur. And then you've got Jordan Love, who I think we are all in agreement needs to step up, needs to play better, needs to look more like the quarterbacks that were out there this past weekend, whether that's Jaden Daniels, whether that's Jalen Hurts, whether it's the two guys who were in the AFC Championship game who we have watched year in and year out. Chu, I want to talk to you when we get back after this break. What is it for Jordan Love? Where do you need to see him make the biggest leap between this season and next season to close the gap between the Green Bay Packers and the teams who were representing their respective conferences yesterday on the field? That's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A weekly pulse of the Milwaukee Bucks straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune into Hear District with Marcus Johnson, Bucks Plus Audio Production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world and are joined by some of the biggest names in basketball. Plus, they'll answer your questions, too. Stay on the beat of the Bucks. Find Hear District now, Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
There's a lot of sodas now that are prebiotic sodas as
well. They don't work. They're called poop.
No, they're
really called poop, I think. You buy them on Amazon.
I thought you were going to stop talking.
You got a lot of thrust in you. You know that?
On 94.5 ESPN.
you see the update on the story we talked about last week? Talked about it quite a bit. The Paul Skeens one of one baseball card that the kid in California pulled. And the Pirates had offered this huge package of things so that they could get the card. Well, over the weekend, the kid politely declined their offer, saying, I'm going to send this card to auction instead. But there was actually an update to the update, Gabe.
Well, the Pirates said, hey, we'd still love to offer this kid an opportunity to meet Paul Skeens, whether that's here in Pittsburgh, whether that's when we go out and play the Dodgers. We'd love the opportunity for these two to somehow get together. So the Pirates played this thing perfectly from day one. They put out that package before, like when the card was announced, so they get that out there then the kid pulls the card, it gets back out there, this package is out there. Oh, the kid said no. Hey, we still want to do the right thing and have you meet Paul Skeens.
Like it, you?
Sweet.
Yeah, that was cool. That's a classy thing to do. No sour milk. You know, hey, if the Pirates want it,
they can buy it.
Bid at the auction.
This is a win-win-win. Except for the Pirates, who have to put up a pretty penny for that. So who will end up with the card, Joshy? You're the guy who's in this card space, at least the most of the four of us. Is it going to go to one of these eccentric card collectors who just wants to have the Honus Wagner and the Paul Skeens uniform patch card?
Yeah, I mean, for all of us who watch Pawn Stars, the nature of the market is basically who are the people who have the money, the capital, to offer up $1 million. It's going to go to probably like an investment fund or like something like that, or one of these super individually rich people. Like, athletes get into this game. Like, social media people get into this game. Like, it's a limited people, and that's why the auction is the best place for it, because it allows everybody to have a bid on it. So, like, I wouldn't rule the Pirates out. Like, it's a billionaire over there. He has money. He can spend $1 million. And the great thing with all these things is when you go to auction and you buy art pieces or stuff like this, works nicely with your taxes.
Yeah, but I'm
and the price could go up.
Mm-hmm. I'm more interested to see if this thing loses value or gains value. It's kind of like Bitcoin, you know?
Oh, it's just like anything else, Chew. Like, yeah. your piece of art that could, you know, go up in value or go down in value.
It's gambling.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a different form of gambling.
It's like when I told these guys, Chew, that I bought a Trevor Lawrence baseball card. It's obviously it doesn't play baseball, but I think Topps put it out. And I was like, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be the next big thing in the NFL. Womp, 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 womp.
Those markets like go up and down like weekly. Like if somebody's having a good tear, their card market will rise.
So Jen's hoping Liam Cohen comes through for the Jags.
Like if he goes and wins a Cy Young...
Oh, yeah. That thing will skyrocket.
More expensive. More money.
For sure. All right, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Get back to the Super Bowl and the Green Bay Packers right after this.